Well, I think that it's important that we set our eyes on what the reality is. And the reality of Nigeria's situation is that the country is in dire need of reforms. But beyond that, it's in dire need of a leader who has the courage and the clear vision to be able to chart a critical path out of where we have found ourselves. And you know, they say that when you're in a hole, you don't keep digging. You need to find every way, a raft, whatever it is, to get yourself out of the hole. And that is what is happening now. You have a president who has decided to hunker down and take the very hard decisions that are necessary. And, you know, these decisions, when you see them, you think they inflict pain. And you know the cliche is that if there's no pain, there's no gain. But let me add some substance to that. The president, during the campaign for presidency, at several clips, there's a very specific clip that he spoke about the problems of the country, that he was signing up for a tough job, mm-hmm. and he will face up to it. He also sent signals when last year, barely a few months into his presidency, he addressed the Nigerian Bar Association National Conference in Abuja at the Dome. And he spoke very frankly. He said, listen, we're going to have to really take tough decisions and hard decisions down the road.
Talking about tough decisions, there was subsidy removal on petrol,
yes,
and electricity or power generation or energy. Some people are saying that that is the beginning of the trouble of the economic difficulties they face, and that is what prompted.
Well, you know, those decisions accentuated the difficult era, and that's because you had the president Bola Ahmed Tinubu, who chose to travel, to take the road less traveled. Presidents before him had basically avoided taking these tough decisions. But also, when you look at it, he took those decisions because they were necessary. They were also timely because time was running out. But he's also rolled out several policies and initiatives. For instance, unprecedented, you have the Emergency Economic Sustainability Act or Bill, which he has put forward, and we're drawing from that. You have also several other reforms coming alongside that. You have the NEL fund for our students across the country, a well-thought-out program. You have the CNG, which is the alternative energy, almost $150 billion for that. You have also taxes, about 50 taxes that we had before have been reduced to 10 taxes. So we're having both social welfare programs, but also attempts to lessen the burden on the population of our country. Now, when you look at what has been the impact so far,
I was going to ask you about the impact, because yes, people are saying their belts that are being tightened is too tight for them.
Let me take you to Indonesia, because when you look at it, several other countries, especially Indonesia, had also the same problem: years and decades of subsidy. And then in 2015, they decided to remove subsidy on oil and gas. And what happened? It was a shock therapy. You needed a shock therapy to get out. That's the same thing we're experiencing. What happened to Indonesia? In 2015, they took it out. And then we had the same pains, high cost of living, etc. And then eventually, the story changed 7 years down the road. It became from shock to stability, shock to political stability. And we're in that phase right now. What happened? They increased local refining capacity. Nigeria is on that path. You have the Dangote refinery coming on. You have the President Tinubu, has said, sell NNPC, sell crude to them in Naira. You also have Warri, Port Harcourt, and Kaduna refinery in line for privatization. All these four combined in several months and a year down the road will give us a refining capacity that's about 50%. So we're going to have some kind of stabilization in the oil pricing. And several other efforts are ongoing. Just like Indonesian experience, Nigeria will move from this shock therapy that we're having now to a level of stability.
But people are asking, how long are they going to wait for this reforms to actualize, for them to benefit?
The message from President Tinubu has always been consistent. We must experience this short-term pain for long-term benefits. That's one. Two, you look at the number of reforms. They are reforms in the infrastructure sector of economy. There are reforms even in the youth development sector. There are reforms, economic reforms, that have seen our GDP grow to 3.9, real GDP. We have seen inflation in the second quarter reduced from 33.45 to 32.15. That is some progress. And I think the call right now is that the president believes that it is better to spend the people, that is, spend the money on the people. So when you look at these programs, $350 billion for consumer credit, $150 billion for CNG, $3 trillion for economic sustainability plan for our country, infrastructure bill is over $450 billion, is spending the money on the people for the benefit that will come eventually. And I think it's a difficult phase, no doubt, but you have someone who is a shock therapist who knows that he must rise up to the occasion as a leader and a president to take the hard decisions. He's not out there for the ovation right now. He's here, out there for the hard and difficult decisions so that Nigeria and Nigerians can have a better day.
Thank you very much. That was Chief Sunday Dare. He is Nigeria's immediate past Minister of Youth and Sports, a veteran journalist and author. He joined us live here in our studios.